Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, assuming we have time at the end of the program, 251-343-0106. Feel free to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind or you hear on this program. We do appreciate the feedback. But joining us now, I'm pleased to have my next guest. He is the state senator from Wilmer, but in this listening audience, y'all know him. State Senator Jack Williams, running for ACA commissioner, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How you been?
I'm great. Tired of traveling the state, of course, going back and forth, so putting a lot of miles on me.
Well, and you get a real early start here. Talk a little bit about that. How's the campaign going in these early stages?
I think it's going great. I think I relate to the farmers, being that I was a farmer or still am. The kids run everything now, but I think I relate to them in a sense that I'm probably one of the true farmers that's ever run for this for ag commissioner. I know we're out there early, hoping to ward people off from running where we can run a cheaper campaign. We look to win as a course, and we're going to work it as hard as any other job we've ever worked. I'm a working person, and I believe in getting out there and doing your research and running.
Now, Senator, one of your colleagues, David Sessions, and I talked about this. We had a long conversation there at the State House, just how hard it is right now for farmers in this state. The input costs are through the roof. People, I mean, you really hear this. It seems to be kind of a common theme around the state. But, I mean, is that the sense you get that, like, the Biden administration, everything that's going on there is really taking its toll on ag in Alabama?
Oh, it has. And from a federal level, they're not paying enough on a lot of the crops that when they pay, you only get enough back to really pay for your seed and fertilize and stuff, but not enough to make a profit. We've got farmers across our state that has lost money 2 years in a row. This year, if they don't have a good crop, it's going to really hurt them. I mean, they only can survive so long. When you have equipment costing you what it costs, over $1 million a piece for combines and stuff, farmers having to share a lot of them, get two farms together. I was at a cattleman's meet the other night, and what I do is a lot of cattlemen, forestry, and alpha meetings right now. That's the crowds I'm hitting. But, you know, one of the questions was, how does a young person go into farming? How do we get them into farming? There is really no way unless you give them everything. And once you give them everything, it is still hard for them to make a living. You can give them the equipment, the land and all, but when they put everything into it, they're still making below minimum wage, the majority of them. I mean, it's just hard for them to make a living. But if we don't do something, we've got to come up with a solution to kind of help, because we don't have the product out there. Right now, our cattle numbers are down since 1962 to that number, because there's a lot of retired farmers going out of business, for one thing. If you're 80 years old and you're a farmer, you never have saved money. You've always invested it back in your farm, bought land, done whatever you could to invest in the farm when you done it. And then when you go to retire, you have your cattle to sell and all that, which cattle being right now at the highest market they've ever been, and they keep going up. But like I say, we don't have the product out there, and most general people that's listening to your show, they can go to the store and they'll know it's not in it. We don't have a solution to make it any better. I mean, you can train all the people in the world, but you've got to have farmers to grow it and train them to grow it and produce it. And it's not just on a poultry, everything. I mean, I talk to people all over the state, and of course, we're all trying to come up with solutions to produce more. You know, I carried a bill last year on lab-grown meat to keep it out of Alabama, to keep our people safe. I've had 17 states come in and copy that bill. So far, we'll have it filed next year. Florida copied it. They passed it a week before we did. We left NASA where they could do research on it. We really don't have a solution.
Well, some of it isn't this. And you know, you look at like what the federal government is doing from a regulatory standpoint, And, you know, it's that, it's just as you brought up with the lab-grown meat, like they're trying to push us in one direction and make us live these weird lifestyles in the name of worshiping at the altar of environmentalism. But, like, from a regulatory standpoint, a lot of that's adding into the cost of being a farmer. It's not just economic policy. It's also all these other things that these Democrat administrations have done through the EPA or whatever.
Yeah, from water runoff to, well, let me go back to the diesel cost right now. Even, I mean, in the Biden administration, diesel fuel is doubled this last time. There is no way, if you're running a big tractor, a really big tractor, you're burning 300 gallons a day, which farm diesel is probably right now 320 a gallon. So just add that in, and that's just one piece of equipment running. You're investing everything you've got in your farm to be able to run. You're having to put it up for collateral. And there have been several farms across the state that have lost their farms because of it. The federal regulations are killing us. I mean, like I said, from water runoff, even to the point of what chemicals we can use to spray for bugs and all that they took off the market. I mean, that's where I'm at on that. I don't know what else to say about it other than until they loosen it up. Under Trump, we were getting some slack. We were able to do stuff we had not done with EPA, stuff down to the point of on our own farm having to dig our diesel tanks up and set them above ground and stuff that had been there for years. I mean, and like I say, one of the biggest things is runoff. So, you know.
Well, and I think it's this, like when you're the head ag official for a state, that like you got to be, and this is sort of it, like you got to push back against the federal government, just like any other executive cabinet level position in this state, because a lot of this is just unnecessary, isn't it?
It is. It is. And let me go back to the meat. Our federal government put over $3 million on research on the meat. I didn't know this even after my bill was passed, but have done research on it. If you go back probably 6 weeks ago, Fox News uncovered it, how much they had put in it, and that they had was going to test it on our military. Now, here we are. We have the best military anywhere, and they're going to test lab-grown meat on our military, so they would be another guinea pig for all the shots we've gave them in the past and everything else. Unheard of. They allowed the lobbyists to come up there and fight to pull money out of the farm bill that's supposed to be that we're funding everything else out of anyway, but because really it's only a little portion the farmers get out of a farm bill. They spent over $2 million with their lobbyists trying to get money out of our farm bill to fund a lot of this. I mean, come on. this is our farmers we're talking about.
Well,
then you wonder why they can't be in business, what's putting them out of business, or why a young person doesn't want to be in the farming. Now a farmer cannot, I mean, with all the new equipment, he can't work on it. So a lot of them still running old equipment they can actually work on. But a farmer has to be a mechanic. He has to be a vet. I mean, he has to be everything, and you have to love it because you're not going to make no money at it. It's from year to year, figuring out how you're going to make it another year.
Right. It's this though. It's like the left is trying to steer the culture away from, you know, the farm lifestyle or whatever. They want us to all live in big cities. They want us to all, like, work as a collective, and I just think like there's a something going on there in modern liberal politics that is steering policy away from farming, but it is actually kind of working. It's making it harder to go into this as an occupation.
Well, it's harder to go at it with all the regulations they're putting on everything now, but it's also hard to entertain people to go into it because, like I say, our generation, back to my generation, we were used to working just 7 days a week. I mean, we knew we had to get up on Sunday morning and was going to have to feed hogs or whatever. before you could even go to church. You had, you know, unless the ox was in the ditch and you had to work all day if you had hay down or something. But there's just very few people in the generation that's coming on and the generation that came on after me that wants to put that kind of time in working 7 days a week. When I talk to farmers all across the state right now, their kids have left the farm because they can go to work, make a whole lot more money, and work 5 days a week or less and have a vacation. A farmer can't take a vacation because he's got to have somebody to take care of livestock. And a lot of our farms that pass down that they're losing and stuff today. When we were farming, everybody had hogs, cows. They were diversified. If one thing was down, they could survive on another one maybe. But then in the recent years, our slaughterhouses have closed down away from here and all. So it got too far to ship pork away from here and stuff to the slaughterhouses. So in the state of Alabama, you really don't have any commercial hog growers anymore or like that. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff has been took away from us.
Joined by State Senator Jack Williams here on the program. He's running for Ag Commissioner in the 2026 cycle. Senator, the other thing, you're talking about this and giving, you know, like, well, what is the next generation of farmers look like? And you give them the land, the equipment, it's still hard to make a living. But as you look at, like, education and you look at, I mean, we talk about trades and workforce development all the time. Do you think the state's doing what it needs to do to kind of teach? I don't know what you could teach. I know I went to Auburn and they taught a lot of ag there, but like, is higher ed or even K through 12 doing what it could do in that regard to prepare farmers?
Yeah, we could do more. And actually, Commissioner Payton and I flew to Virginia Tech and looked at a program they had not long ago. That was a 2-year program that took out a lot of the math and science, but they could go 2 years. We are actually working, or I am, Rick's not, working with Auburn now to see if we can get the 2-year college system to have a program there, because Auburn's not going to have it, but a 4-year program. But they have everything set up there for it to be able to do it. So we're trying to work with a 2-year system to come in and let them have it at Auburn, and they would be going through a 2-year system instead of that. That does them a lot of it. I mean, does everything a farmer needs to know. He don't have to go to all this 4-year stuff that a lot of it, the first 2 years, is not even going to pertain with farming, just trying to get maths and sciences and stuff in. But yes, one of my things is, and I'm working with some people now, I want to work on workforce development for farmers and logging. I mean, every industry that I consider under ag, to train people and maybe get them into it some, or at least be able to hire people. Because like I said, you can't even hire somebody to work on a farm. Why would you want to? You can't pay him enough. Excuse me. You cannot pay him what he can go to a chemical plant. Or in our area, he can start out at $20 an hour or more in a chemical plant. A kid, we have training right at Citronelle High School, where they leave there the week after they get out of school and go to work making $80,000 a year. There is no way a farmer can attract anybody to do that kind of stuff. So the only way we can do it is start training them where we can get the pay scale up too, but have qualified work that you can actually put a kid on a tractor or something that has not been on it all his life.
You mentioned logging. I'll talk about forestry, if you would. I mean, that was when I was in school, there was a lot of people that was a sought after occupation, understanding the science of that and the logistics of that. Are we in a good place there? Because that, I mean, so much of that is what really drives some of the ag and the Black Belt, right?
Yes, if we could get the pricing up on logs. I mean, the pricing on pulpwood and all, I mean, we have enough wood to, I think we have like I don't forget how many years, but if we started cutting today in 20 years, we wouldn't have what's cut. We're still planting back. And you get so much keep back with now on logging. Like I said, pulpwood is $2 a ton today. So that means if you sold a truckload, when they haul a truckload out of wood, the actual person that's thinning timber and getting down home is getting about $50 a load coming out of the woods. There is no way you can afford to grow timber on that land. I mean, it's just not, unless you've got the land that's just sitting there and you can leave it alone. Because down home, even thinning trees, you're 15 years before you thin trees. And down home, we do a lot of long leaf, which takes longer, you know. I'm logging, waiting for them to start logging up. They may start it today. I had 160 acres we did they was going to cut. And then I have a, not going to call the timber people, but that's on the other end that we have to cross one piece to get out of. They sent me a note today that you got, they wanted $8,000 put up to cross one bridge. And this is the same people that cross my stuff all the time coming out with timber. Unheard of, you know. Everybody's out to get what they can get. But our wood prices are so low right now, it's unreal. I mean, it's just, nobody's cutting unless they have to, and you do have to rotate your timber and cut, but it's tough. And if it wasn't for migrant workers coming in running equipment right there, nobody would be able to operate in that business. And it is a lot of H2A they use on that also, just like the nurseries and all, you know. Right now, like I said, you cannot attract people to go to work on a nursery or anything else. And, you know, our nursery, we pay people high wages. But when you're bringing H2A in and almost $20 an hour to pay them, it's even hard to make it in there, any of them. I mean, and that's what the federal government has said on it. Everybody thinks migrant worker labor is cheap. It's not. And if we could hire all Americans or whatever to work, everybody would love to, but like I say, the generation that's come on, they don't want to get out in the heat, the sun, and lived and been their back like we grew up doing, you know. I told somebody the other day about a cattleman's meeting. They said, why would you want to run back from this? I said, well, I can give back. I said, but when I ran for Senate, I had a lot of them tell me, well, that's going to be the hardest job you ever had. I said, no. Apparently, you haven't grown 100 acres of watermelons and been in a watermelon field all day for several weeks. this was an easy job. I get to do stuff for people that hopefully bring stuff back to them.
Senator, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we appreciate your time this morning, and let's talk again soon.
Got to look forward to it. Thank you very much.
State Senator Jack Williams there, running for Ag Commissioner. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. But if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best.